Today on Pilgrim Radio's His People, Rick Altizer on father's impact on their daughters' lives.
So what I would say to men who are fathers listening to this is there's one perfect father. There's only one, and you're not him. Your job isn't to be the perfect father, because guess what? You're going to make mistakes. You're going to mess up. That's just a fact. You've already done it. As I'm saying it, you're going, yep, you know exactly what I'm talking about because you've already done it. Our job is to lead our daughters and our sons to the perfect father. That's our job.
Rick Altizer next. With Father's Day just behind us, it's appropriate to discuss the documentary, He Calls Me Father. The film explores the importance of a father in a woman's life and the hope and healing available in Christ. Spencer Dahlke is with Rick Altizer, the director of the documentary.
What prompted this documentary? Looks like a very good one.
Yeah. Well, I directed a film for the Kendrick Brothers called Show Me the Father, which Sony put out. And as we were making that film, I was talking to Stephen Kendrick. And I don't know if you know who the Kendrick Brothers are. They did War Room and Courageous and Fireproof and The Forge. And so they've made lots and lots of Christian films. And this was the first documentary they executive produced, and they hired me to direct it. As we were making that film, I said, we got to do this for women. They went on to do other things and kind of stopped doing documentaries after Show Me the Father. And so I was fervently seeking the Lord one day, you know, as you do when after you finish a film, you're unemployed, right? You're working crazy for 3 years and then the film's done and out and now you don't have a job. So as you do when you're unemployed, you're asking God, what am I supposed to do? And, you know, God speaks clearly to me through His Word. He speaks to us through His Word. It's very clear. Everything we need to know is in the Word. There isn't any special message from God that we don't have, right? So I heard this voice speak to me and say, I want you to make this film for women. And that doesn't happen often to me, but it was very clear. And so, as you do, being the great man of faith I am, it's like, how am I going to do that? That takes money. That takes, you know, I know what it takes to make a film. You know, I don't have Sony behind me on this like we did with Show Me the Father. I don't have the Kendrick Brothers and all that. And I heard him say, I've given you everything you need. I thought he meant, oh, I've given you cameras. I've given you lighting gear. You've got the audio equipment. You have some friends who can help you film. Just start, you know, I'll work it out. But that isn't what he meant. You know, when God, Isaiah says he declares the end from the beginning, right? God's already there. He's just on a different time zone from us. He knew who was going to be in the film. He knew who was going to show up and say, hey, what do you need? And I told him, and then their next question was, how much? And then they write checks. He knew that was going to happen. He knew that it was going to get in theaters. He knew it was going to be the number 5 movie in America the night it came out. He knew all that. He knew we're going to have 1 million Facebook views the day before it comes out, that 200,000 comments in a week goes on Angel, hits number 3. It enters at number 3 on Angel. I mean, he knew all of that. All of that. And when I'm sitting in that room and I don't know, you know, what's coming next. I'm unemployed. I don't know what's happening. And God says, I've given you everything you need. He knew all of that was going to happen. And I have never been on a project in my life. This is my 7th film, but I've never been on a project where God's hand was so evident from the beginning. He confirmed that within a few months, I had somebody off, you know, paying me hundreds of thousands of dollars, writing me checks to make this film. And I never asked anybody for money. I have never been on a project where God's hand was so evident. It's still evident. Spencer, we're going here. It's going to be in theaters in 16 countries in Latin America, Brazil, Indonesia, the Philippines, in China, Singapore, that's it, in Singapore. We just heard from England. I'm sending off files off to England, France, Romania, Estonia. I mean, it just goes all over. God is now taking this. I've given you everything you need, unemployed, in a room, not knowing what's going on, to now having this massive ministry movement for women who have a father wound, only God. So it's a God thing, all the way up to bottom. What led me to make this? God.
You know, especially in our world today, it seems like fathers just seem to be noticeably absent from many, many, many homes. So, yeah, I'm just curious what your thoughts are about like the state of fatherhood based on maybe what you've learned from your documentary and what is the film attempting to address?
So many women have this ache. They don't know what it is. They go to church. They love God. They're in church, but they're not, they don't have that connection with God that they see that the other women have. And they just figure there's something wrong with them. They go to the women's retreats. They go to the women's conferences and read all the books. And it just, it's not connecting emotionally for them. And they just figure there's something wrong. And when they see this film, their life will change. And I know that because every day I'm getting multiple emails and messages on Facebook. This film was life-changing. You know, I didn't know I had a father wound. When we project onto our father, God, traits of our earthly dad. So if my father left me, let's say like my earthly dad left, if my father lied to me constantly, I will project that onto God and it'll be difficult for me to trust God. And so many women who they don't even know they have a father wound, their dad was there, my dad was home, but he didn't really affirm me. He didn't really nurture me. He didn't really say, I love you. He wasn't very affectionate, but he was there. Well, those women, the way they felt valued, the way they got attention was when they had to do something. They had to do something for dad to notice them. They had to do something in order to get their dad's attention. So they become these human doings. The way I get validation, the way I get worth is when I do something, when I do. And so then they take that then and they project that onto God. I got to get to work. I got to do it. I'm never, ever measuring up to God. I'm never doing enough. I'm never good enough. I'm never there. And it's a real, real thing that so many women have, and it really hasn't been addressed. And so this film kind of opens up the can of worms, if you will, on the father wound. It does it very gently. It's not a heavy, dark film. There's lots of positive, great gospel moments in the film. But it's giving them an opportunity and permission to talk about their father wound and how it impacted them. And more importantly, how it impacts their faith with God and their identity of themselves as daughter. So that's what the film's about. It's helping women process that through the gospel. The gospel is the answer. And God's identity of father, God was father before he was creator. So a deepest core of who we are is daughter, son. This is like the deepest identity of who we are. He calls me daughter. It's a designation that's coming outside of myself. He calls me son. He calls me daughter. I'm not defining myself. Well, I think I'm a boy. I think I'm a girl. I'm a dog. I'm a cat. So many people today are confused about who they are. And you know, I mean, it's laughable, but it's a real thing. It's serious. They're confused because they're doing this, they're self-identifying, and they're not saying, no, God doesn't make mistakes. He made you who you are on purpose, and he calls you daughter. He calls you son. He's given you this designation, and it's through Christ that we get that.
I take it, and you'll have to correct me if my understanding isn't correct on this, but Show Me the Father, the earlier documentary you did, maybe was one that addressed sons?
For men,
yeah.
Yeah, it was a little bit more, I mean, there's women in it too, but it's a little more male-centric from the perspective of a father and a son, but it wasn't specifically focused on the daughter as much as this. There was a father-daughter, adopted daughter story in there with actually Stephen Kendrick and his daughter. So it wasn't quite as focused. This is just very, very focused for women with a father wound.
From the work that you've done, like, do you see different ways that like men and women respond to, you know, father wounds, as you put it?
Yeah, I think you see it in different ways, but I think at the end, they both deep down, men might be a little bit more tough. They might not want to admit if there's weakness there because we're supposed to be tough. We're supposed to be tough guys and not have pain, you know, no pain, no gain, right? So we're not afraid of pain and we don't, you know, we're not going to let pain define me and so they don't deal with it. But I think in both cases, what the result is in the father wound with everyone is I don't feel valued. I don't feel seen. I don't have worth. I, in and of myself, don't have worth and value. And I really don't believe God loves me like that as a father. I don't know what that means. I don't know how to relate to God that way. Yeah, I understand my earthly father, but you're talking about a perfect heavenly father through Jesus who loves me, this special, gives me this special designation and identity and loves me. Don't fall off your chair when I tell you this. Loves me with the same love he had for his son. Jesus says in John, I think it's 16, you love them with the same love you loved me with. Try to wrap your head around that. Your heavenly father, perfect heavenly father, not like your earthly father, has the same love for you that he has for his son, Jesus. I mean, that's mind-blowing. If you really live on that for a while, can this be true? Can God love me like that? The answer is yes. So that's the struggle that we all have, is to believe that God loves us that way. They came to Jesus in John chapter 6, show us the works of the Father that we must be doing. Give me the five ways to be a good Christian, the three ways to love my wife, the four ways to know my spiritual gift. And that's what they wanted. Lord, give us the works of the Father that we must be doing. Give me my do list. Give me my to-do list, because we're a bunch of human doings. And Jesus said, the work, singular, the one work of the Father is to believe the one he sent. So that's our work. And it's the work of God is to believe Jesus.
It's easy to assent into it, like intellectually up in the mind, but to let it sink into our hearts and believe it, like, yes, God loves me, and rest in that. That's, oh man, that's really hard to do.
I'm valued. I am loved, not based on anything I do or have to achieve or have to prove, but it's all based on what Christ did for me on the cross, what Christ achieved for me. That's where my value comes from. His righteousness is credited to me when I put my faith in him. And when I believe in Christ and put my faith in Christ, his righteousness is credited to me. And so I have this total right standing with God and this new designation as son, as daughter. That's a whole new identity. And it's the deepest truth of who we are.
Well, my guest today is Rick Altizer. He's the director of this documentary released in March. He calls me daughter. As you were going through production, what surprised you? Connections maybe that you made as you were like hearing from the different subjects you talked to, even perhaps about how, assuming you have maybe daughters of your own or children,
well,
how
two,
you father.
I have two daughter-in-laws and I have a wife. I've been married for 40 years to a woman who has a father wound. So I understand it very well. And I know how impactful it is when you have a father that struggles with affirming you for whatever reason, how that impacts how you are. I think for me, I was so surprised just with God just kept blowing my mind with bringing in people and then taking them out, shaping the film. I'm going to have to do a podcast just on all the things God did on this film. That's just was just amazing to see God leading, guiding, and directing. So many times I have in the past seen a closed door as, I knew it, God. I knew I couldn't count on you. There you are, shutting a door, not being there for me. Right, that's all father wound right there. That's father wound talking. I knew I couldn't count on you. And I'm learning and have been learning to see the closed door as direction and guidance. We had a married couple in the film. You know, we flew out, we flew them out, we paid for the crew, we spent all this money. You know, it was okay, but it wasn't quite right. I didn't know what was going on. Well, anyway, well, their marriage kind of imploded and they're divorced. And God pulled them out. And so I saw that as direction. All right, God, you're protecting me. You're protecting this film. And frankly, the film isn't about marriage. It helped me to focus. That's not what this film's about. This film's about the father wound for women. It's not about marriage. Not that a movie about marriage isn't a bad thing, but that's not what this movie's about. And so those little things like that, and I can't tell you how many times that happened, what looked like a closed door, God's removing something, taking something out, was guidance, direction. So I'm learning God, when God closes a door, he's guiding you, he's leading you, and he's directing you. In my life, more times than not, God has led me with the closed door than he has the open door. So the father wound is upset, impatient, angry about the closed door. That's the father wound. But coming from the faith, the trust, the belief, speaking out of belief, oh, you closed this door. I just lost my job. You know, my girlfriend broke up with me, you know, whatever, some terrible thing. that has been, you know, oh, you must be guiding and directing me. I'm going to trust you, God. I'm trusting you in this. I don't understand it, but I trust you.
Where did you find the subjects that you talked to for the documentary?
It was a journey that I'm telling you. I just like a broken record. It was God. God found him. I don't know what else to say. I knew Shonda Pierce, who's a Christian comedian. I'd done 3 films with her. Her father had just died, and she never had shared about her dad before. And so I knew she would talk about her dad. So she was one of the first people I interviewed. And then things just kind of, I met people, looked, hey, you need to talk to so-and-so. You should talk to so-and-so. When this married couple fell out and the whole thing collapsed, I was on the phone with Dee Dee Mayer, who's at Pepperdine. She's in the film. I told her what happened. I just lost this big part of my movie. It's got that, you know, I'm going to have to take him out. And she said, you know, I have this friend in Louisville, Kentucky, Scarlet Hope Ministries, and they go into strip clubs and they, you know, make home cooked meals every week. And they have this amazing ministry to women in strip clubs. You might want to call her. Because of this closed door, I make a phone call. I call up the person at Scarlet Hope. I meet Priscilla, who's on the cover of the poster. That's Priscilla right there. And her story's the main story. And had I called a year earlier, I wouldn't have been able to talk to Priscilla because she hadn't been through the program enough. But because I called when I called, it was the perfect timing to get this amazing story that's like the main theme of our movie. So God shut that door to lead me here. I wasn't ready to go there until he had to shut the door to drive me there. So again, it's those kinds of things. Just God leading, guiding, and directing. I've just never been on a film where God kind of just handpicked who's going to be in it. So we were on vacation in Gatlinburg, and my wife was listening to Ligonier, a little podcast, and this guy named Michael Reeves from England was speaking on the fatherhood of God. She goes, Rick, listen to this. I think he might need to be in the film. And I'm listening to this amazing English accent. He's this Oxford, you know, he's the president of a theological seminary, right? In Oxford, right? I mean, he's brilliant and amazing. And he's talking about the fatherhood of God, but he's got this soft, gentle, kind English accent. And as I'm hearing him say this, I'm just giving this amazing truth of the fatherhood of God, I'm going, this is a voice a wounded woman could hear. A woman who's wounded by men, this is a male voice that she could listen to. I love Tony Evans. I had Tony Evans in Show Me the Father, but he could get a little rough. You know, he can get a little excited, sound angry, and a wounded woman might not listen to him as well. But with this Michael Reeves, it's like, I think a wounded woman would hear him. Well, emailed him. Gave him the trailer. He goes, I'm in. We went to England. My wife and I took a vacation and interviewed him in England. So, you know, but those kinds of things, God just opening those doors and then here we are, you know, here it is.
I'm thinking of even a clip a while ago between Charlie Kirk and sitting in at a, like a table discussing with a bunch of OnlyFans models. And he asks them, are you proud of what they do? And they just kind of say, well, yeah, I mean, it's what they do for money. And he says, how is your father? You know, how's your father relationship? Do you think there really is something to be said there that there is a connection between being wounded by one's father and entering the entertainment industry, shall we say?
Well, yeah, the sex industry. What Rochelle Starr, who runs Scarlet Hope Ministries, an amazing ministry. They go into strip clubs every Thursday night, make home-cooked meals, and just interact with the women who are in the sex industry. She said this in the film. She said, I have seen thousands of women in the sex industry. And she said, virtually everyone has some kind of father wound. Every single one. And that certainly was the case with Priscilla, who's in the film. Her mom had 5 kids from 5 different men. As a matter of fact, Priscilla says in the film, she goes, I couldn't be a Christian because I'm not going to worship a man. Jesus was a man. I'm not worshiping a man. And she said, God is a father. She said, I had no idea of how to connect with that. No concept. So it was a barrier to her. You know, what a negative impact men had had in her life, had been so negative that it actually was a barrier for her to become a Christian because Jesus was a man and I'm not worshiping a man. And she had to get over that, you know? And so when men, a lot of men are seeing the film and taking it to their addiction recovery groups and showing it to men who are, you know, struggling from porn addiction. And they're watching the film because, look, guys, this is the impact you're having. You're making it a barrier for these women to even become a Christian because you're showing such a negative impact of what a man is. If that doesn't sober you up, I don't know what will. By me going and doing that and being a part of that, I'm actually making it difficult for these women to become a Christian because I'm showing them what a negative thing a man is.
A lot to think about here about what hurts women. But I'm curious if you have thoughts based on like this production that you've done about how men, fathers, can not just be discouraged from hurting your daughters, but also exhorted to love them well. Like, what does the flip side of the coin look like? What does loving daughters well look like?
Yes, and we have Alex Kendrick in the film. We have Rochelle's father who helped her by modeling loving Christ and loving those who are unlovely. And now she's started this amazing ministry. So we do show the positive impact. I didn't want to just it to be a downer. You know, my dad threw my head into the table and broke my nose and my dad didn't say I was his. You know, I wanted to also have positive role models. Here's some good dads. Here's what a good dad looks like. So what I would say to men who are fathers listening to this is there's one perfect father. There's only one and you're not him. Your job isn't to be the perfect father because guess what? You're going to make mistakes. You're going to mess up. That's just a fact. You've already done it. As I'm saying it, you're going, yep, you know exactly what I'm talking about because you've already done it. Our job is to lead our daughters and our sons to the perfect father. That's our job. Not to be the perfect father because we can't, but we can lead them to the perfect father. And at the end of the day, that's the only thing that's going to help them is the gospel. Most of our great reviews, you know, have been from men. One guy says it's the best one of the best movies I've ever seen. So it is very impactful for men, especially men who have daughters or who are married to a wounded woman. It's really impactful and it's helpful. And I think it helps give hope. There's a lot of hope in this film. It's very uplifting and positive. You know, we really resolve everything, and I didn't want it to be a downer. But that would be my main thing for guys, is just to be aware. My job is to lead them to the Father, but not to be the perfect Father. To repent, to say, I'm sorry when we mess up. You're going to mess up. Dude, just apologize. Do it. That's going to bring healing. Don't defend yourself and be defensive. Say, I'm sorry. Help your daughters have healthy relationship with men. If you can't do that, she's going to end up marrying some guy that's not going to be healthy. You got to show her she has value and worth, and you got to show her that a man can say he's sorry. That way, if she's dating some guy who can't do it, she's not going to have anything to do with him. You got to show her.
Humility. Yeah. No, it's good for men to practice in their fathering, I suppose. Yeah.
Absolutely.
What has the impact of producing this film, watching it and talking with this people been for you?
Yeah, it's beyond what we thought it was going to be. As I mentioned earlier, it was the number 5 movie in America the 2 nights it was out in theaters. I mean, I had no idea it was going to do that. And then the ongoing interest that we're seeing is just beyond what I thought. I didn't know it would do this. And I'm an okay filmmaker, but I'm not that. You know, God's in this. God did this. He's getting the glory. And it's not me. You know, I didn't do this. I was watching it in the theater. I was going, this isn't me. I didn't put this together. I just saw all the things. Yeah, God did that. Oh, yeah, God did that. Yep, that's right. God did that one. I forgot about that. Yep. That God totally did that too. The impact for me has been profound. I have been so grateful and thankful and to my daddy, you know, my daddy God. And for me personally, I made 2 movies about this topic. My dad died in August of last year. Yeah, we were as close as we could be. You know, he had a lot of issues. So I never called God daddy. The Abba, Papa, daddy thing, I never got there. I got to father and I was able to do that. But I never did daddy. And after this, I started calling God daddy. My daddy's taking good care of me. My daddy is, he loves me and he cares for me and he's going to take care of us. We can trust him. You make these films for other people, but they're for you, you know. The gospel's for all of us. The power of salvation's in the gospel. So when you focus on that, it's going to bring life.
You've been listening to His People on Pilgrim Radio. Many thanks to our guest, Rick Altizer, director of the documentary, He Calls Me Father. Go to fathomentertainment.com. Coming up on tomorrow's program, it's Pedro Garcia on the causes of deconstruction of faith.
You know, when someone is opening up about their issues, the tendency for us is always to give our opinion, which is, oh, let me tell you, this happened to me, or I know this, or all that. And we're trying to train ourselves to bring them to the Lord, to hold our mouths, and just to bring them to the Lord. Because what can I say that is going to really, right? Like, I mean, I can be there, of course, but the first thing I should do is to bring them to the Lord. A person that is, you know, struggling with their faith, they might need space away from the Lord for a second to just for someone to listen so that they don't feel that they're being judged because they are doubting their faith.
That's tomorrow at the same time right here on His People. Thanks for listening.